You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into the latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Setter, joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blues. We're continuing on with our positional preview series, and we're back now to also, for letting everyone know, since training camp is next week, which is crazy to say, Stephen, we are going to be back to 5 days a week beginning next week throughout the whole entire season, so just stay tuned for that on all your podcasting platforms. But today, we're going to be talking about the offensive and defensive lines for the Colts. So, Stephen, how are you doing today?
Hey, Evan, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we've been doing this positional preview series for a couple weeks now, just talking through the Colts and their roster. And so far through our first few episodes of that, it's been really showing how strong this Colts roster is. I think we're now into the spot with offensive and defensive line, where it's fair to say with how Chris Ballard's built this roster the last couple of years, Stephen, with all these blue chip prospects, Quentin Nelson, DeForest Buckner trade, Adequity paid in the mix there as well, Eric Fisher in the mix, not replacing Andy Costanzo. Even losing Costanzo, the trenches, how Chris Barr has built this roster, Stephen, is the strong spot of this roster.
Yeah, and that's been kind of his point from day one, is wanting to build this roster from the trenches and make sure that they have a strong offensive and defensive line. And you see he's kind of put his proverbial money where his mouth is by drafting Quentin Nelson at 6 overall a couple years ago, who obviously has turned out to be a home run pick, at three-time first-team All-Pro. It's, I think the only other player that's done that was Barry Sanders. And then trading a first-round pick for DeForest Buckner, who last year was a first-team defensive All-Pro. So it's pretty clear that Chris Ballard's put a really strong emphasis in the offensive-defensive line. And as a fan, you got to like that because it gives your team a chance.
It really does, and it makes them so strong in the fronts where a lot of games nowadays are won in today's NFL. But let's go from offensive line first, then we'll spend the last second half of the show talking defensive line. For the offensive line, I'll go right to left here. Right tackle, Braden Smith, one of the most underrated right tackles in the NFL. And we have to think there's an extension coming here soon. We saw Taylor Moton get $18 million per year from Carolina. Ryan Ramczyk from New Orleans got over $19 million per year. We've heard from Chris Ballard they are working on extensions with Darius Leonard and with Braden Smith. Before we get into Smith himself and his expectations for next season, what's your thoughts on a limited extension for Smith? Because he has to, personally, I think he's better than Taylor Moton in Carolina, and he's right below Ramczyk in New Orleans, who's been a multi-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro. So I have to imagine the yearly figure, Steven, is probably set around $18 to $18.5 million per year for a future Smith extension.
Yeah, it's going to be high. That's for sure. It's one of those things where it's a little confusing because Chris Ballard has been so good with his contracts and the money management aspect of it that he's now letting somebody else set the market on him. It's happened with Braden Smith here at the right tackle position, and Fred Warner at the outside linebacker position just got a new contract today. So that's going to set the market for Darius Leonard. It's going to be big, and he deserves it. He's gotten better every single year. So, I mean, realistically, any number in there, as long as it's not completely outlandish, I think makes sense. Braden Smith, I think going into the offseason, I was kind of under the impression that probably about be around $14 to $15 million, would be the like upper tier of that range for him. But with these new contract extensions, looks like he might be getting a little bit more. And we have to give a caveat whenever you hear these contracts announced that it's not necessarily the contracts, the announced contracts, it's going to be a little bit higher than what the guys are going to actually get. What you need to really look at and what you need to pay attention to is the guaranteed money, because it's highly unlikely these guys are going to see the entirety of whatever the announced contract is. So I do think Braden Smith's going to get a big deal. I think it's going to be probably year to year, like it is with everything Chris Ballard does, probably a 4 to 5 year extension. You're looking at probably 2-3 years you know, guaranteed, and then outs for the Colts on that fourth and fifth year. But yeah, I think he's going to deserve it. He's gotten better every year, and he's one of the premier up and coming right tackles.
It feels like to me, Stephen, we saw it last year, especially when he missed that one game in Pittsburgh due to COVID-19, where his impact is so immense on this offensive line, and where he's come from, where he was as a rookie to being one, I would say easily a top 10 right tackle in the NFL at this point. He feels like, to me, one of the more indispensable Colts on this offense, where if Smith does miss time at all this year, we saw it against Pittsburgh, obviously, with Chaz Green, LaRaven Clark, and Will Holden getting time during that. But it feels like with him having a zero sack season last year, just now hitting his prime years, Braden Smith's a guy to me where if he misses any time, the Colts are in trouble.
I think so. I think they're in trouble, but I don't think it's nearly the trouble that they were last year when Anthony Costanzo went down. Now, the one thing that was able to buoy the Colts last year was Quentin Nelson being a left guard. When you're looking at Mark Lewinsky being that helper on the right side, you don't feel as confident about that. And Braden Smith being out, I mean, he's really, really good. He's done a lot of great work over, like I said, over the last 3 years. But I think that they would be able to mitigate that loss a little bit easier than what they did last year with Anthony Costanzo.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They really added a lot of depth in the offensive line. That's also held on it throughout so far with guys like Julian Davenport, Sam Tevy, Chris Reed, even younger guys like Will Holden and Danny Pinter. This offensive line depth is so much better than what it was last year. But last point here on Braden Smith, Stephen, before we dive over to Mark Lewinsky at right guard, what's your overall opinion of Braden Smith heading into his fourth season, where whether he gets an extension or not before the season starts, he feels like a guy to me where he's going to be getting better every single year. And that pick that they made in the 2018 draft after Quentin Nelson was Braden Smith. And, man, those two picks with Nelson and Smith really did solidify the offensive line and really changed the entire culture of this Colts offense for almost a decade plus to come.
Yeah, well, I mean, shoot, you look at the first three picks there, and I think in any draft, I don't think you'll find a GM that made a better first three picks in Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith, Darius Leonard. So I think being able to get Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith there at one and two in that draft, or in round one and in round two in that draft, you're able to really solidify, like you said, two positions along the offensive lines, two really kind of premium positions. Because what people don't understand is, you know, the right tackle, I downplayed it a little bit earlier in the conversation, but the right tackle still goes up against elite edge rushers in the NFL. It used to be that you always had the left tackle having that situation. Right tackle goes up against it too. It's just the quarterback, most quarterbacks sees those edge rushers coming because they're rushing from their face. But yeah, Braden Smith, like I said, it's been just an absolute home run of a pick for Chris Ballard. He's done such a good job drafting. Especially early, which is one of the biggest issues in the previous regime, is that they just swung and missed way too often, basically every year outside of the Andrew Luck year and then the last year, Ryan Kelly. But other than that, they really missed hard. Chris Ballard has rectified that. He's swung and he's hit ever since he and Frank Reich got together. It's been a real, real good thing for the Colts and for Colts fans.
Let's go to right guard now, Stephen. Mark Lewinsky, who, surprisingly enough, feels like it was just about a year or so ago, Mark Lewinsky signed his extension, but he is now entering the final year of his extension that he signed back in 2019, a three-year extension with the Colts after really impressing, after getting cut from Seattle and coming in as a starter at right guard midseason and doing so well, gelling with the starters on the offensive line. He's been, you can say, that quote-unquote weak link, but last year, Stephen, Lewinsky had a really good year in 2020, a lot better than it was in 2019, a lot more consistency in the passing game, a really good run blocker anyways. But Lewinsky is a guy now who just turned 29 years old, and next season he'll be 30 in 2021-22. What's your thoughts on Lewinsky heading into this season, where it's one where potentially for the Colts, I mean, with Braden Smith's extension, Eric Fisher's future, we'll get on Fisher in a second here with his looming free agency next offseason as well. But the Colts have a huge decision to make with Mark Lewinsky, and this could be the swan song for Lewinsky with extensions for Smith and Nelson upcoming.
Yeah, and I think right guard is honestly one of the easier positions to replace in the offensive line. Actually, I'd say it's the easiest position to replace in the offensive line. And Mark Lewinsky, yeah, he's played admirably the past couple of years. But I think that there are a couple upgrades from him on this roster currently. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they start to work some other guys in there because he's not going to get a big contract coming out. I don't know what his age is off the top of my head, but I don't see him getting a big contract extension. They're going to need to start going with rookies and younger players and really cheap veteran options there at the right guard position, especially when you're looking at, you know, Ryan Kelly being one of the highest paid centers in football with, you know, Braden Smith going to be one of the highest paid right tackles in football, with Quentin Nelson will be the highest paid left guard in football. You can't have an offensive line with, and I would imagine Chris Ballard really like hates that I'm saying this, but you can't have an offensive line be full of guys with being the highest paid position or highest paid guys at their position. So you're going to have one position that's going to be a little bit of a wash. My guess is it's going to be right guard, left tackle with Eric Fisher. He's on a pretty reasonable deal this year, so they might extend him next year. But they're probably going to be looking to fill those with rookies or draft picks here for the next couple of years.
One guy behind Glowinski, and he was a draft pick in the 2020 draft, fifth round, 149 overall, local kid from South Bend, played at Ball State. Feels like to me, Steven, kind of the succession plan should be in place this year, where Danny Pinter in preseason and camp plays a lot at right guard behind Glowinski. Maybe heading into 2022, Pinter is your guy at right guard long term. He'll be 26 in 2022. And Chris Bauer, we knew it after the draft in 2020. He had so much praise. He seemed like he was in love with Danny Pinter, the prospect out of Ball State. It feels like to me, honestly, the succession plan is in place already for Danny Pinter should be the future Glow replacement.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of those interesting things that when you talk about the Colts and especially the draft, and you see how often Chris Ballard has talked about how he wanted to move up in the draft, but nobody would trade with him. And that was kind of the situation with Danny Pinter. It was the situation this past year, which we all kind of assume was going up to get a left tackle because he said he had a couple left tackles he tried to go get, but he couldn't get them. Nobody was willing to make the trade. You're seeing this, that teams don't want to trade with Chris Ballard. And so the fact that he was so high on Danny Pinter that he was willing to move up to go get him tells you that they really like what he can do. And I think that he's going to be that on the roster replacement there for Mark Lewinsky. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen coming up in training camp, to be totally honest. It's, you know, Mark Lewinsky, I looked at his age, he's 29 years old. Danny Pinter's 25. And so I just don't see the Colts just kind of running again with Mark Lewinsky long-term there at that right guard position.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the succession plan with Pinter is probably the way the Colts are leaning right now heading into 2022. So let's go ahead. We hit on Glowinski there. I think more so if Glow can be more of the 2020 version instead of the 2019 version, the Colts are in a good spot on the right side of Braden Smith, really holding down the fort at right tackle. But let's go to the man in the middle here now, Steven. Ryan Kelly inked his new extension last offseason before the season started. I mean, it feels like to me at this point, Steven, that Ryan Kelly – entering the prime of his career, he's been a multi-time Pro Bowl at this point. I think the next step for Kelly now is to be an All-Pro at center. I think he hasn't been an All-Pro just yet, but it feels like to me now with Ryan Kelly entering his prime at age 27, I think we'll be seeing him become really a top-flight, nationally known, top two to top three center in the NFL here heading into 2021.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that that's right where he deserves to be. He's one of the highest-paid centers in the NFL, and he's one of the best centers in the NFL. He doesn't get a lot of recognition, even though he should, because he plays next to Quentin Nelson, so he kind of gets overshadowed. But Ryan Kelly is one of the top in both pass and run protection. I thought that was probably outside of, like, you know, Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. That was like one of the big home run picks for Ryan Grigson. And I give him credit for it when it happens. But it was really a no-brainer given what had happened to the Colts offensive line leading up to that point to have Brian Kelly just kind of fall in their laps there in the late teens in that draft. So it's Brian Kelly's a perfect center for today's NFL, and I think he's going to be great for years to come.
A crazy stat that I saw, I think, a week or two ago on Twitter from Jake Arthur of SI, he was mentioning that I think the number was when running backs in the Colts ran behind Jonathan Taylor and Ryan Kelly last year, they averaged almost 6 yards per carry, and Jonathan Taylor was almost 7 yards per carry, which is an insane number for any running back. And that duo, Steven, just kind of going into Quentin Nelson here for a second as well, that Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson duo on the inside, that I think it's easy to say that's the best left guard center duo in the NFL, but the numbers like that Jake pointed out a week or two ago on Twitter too, where they're averaging almost 6+ yards per carry from any running back in the Colts roster running behind Kelly and Nelson on interior of the left side. That's just an insane stat to me that shows how dominant those two guys are together.
Yeah, it really is sick. And it's also goes to show you the offensive coaches and how they scheme up some of these blocking assignments, because what you'll see a lot is, because of the mobility of Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly, is you'll see them tag one guy, move him out, and then immediately move to the second level and go after that linebacker or that safety that's coming down. And it really opens up those lanes. So those guys are crazy talented. I think you're right. I think they are the best, and I don't mean to be a homer here, but I think they are far and away the best left guard center combo in the NFL, and it's not that close in my opinion.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full, so you're going to track all the action over at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and our UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, over at Bet Online, your laptop or mobile device, and check all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sell the signs anymore. It's your chance to get into the game as teams prepare for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device right now to sign up today and receive a 50% off welcome bonus to your first deposit. Again, that's 50% off your first deposit at BetOnline using the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's go to Big Q now, Steven. Quentin Nelson, who is upcoming for an extension as well. We don't know if it'll come this offseason. It probably seems more like it's going to hit next offseason, because we know Darius Leonard's coming around the pipe with his $19+ million per year extension. Braden Smith as well is coming very soon. But Quentin Nelson is going to be a guy almost like Trent Williams last year in free agency, where he reset the market for left tackles and really offensive linemen overall, $23 million per year annually for Williams on his 5-year extension with the 49ers. It feels like to me, with the way Quentin Nelson's played so far, 3-time first team All Pro in his first 3 seasons, there's no reason to think it can't be 4-time first team All-Pro in his first 4 seasons, which I think would be the first time ever in NFL history if that were to occur for Quentin Nelson next year of any player. And if that does occur, Steven, I mean, we already know he's on a Hall of Fame path, but Quentin Nelson has shown to be the best player in the Colts consistently every single year. I know left guard's not the sexy thing to talk about, but Quentin Nelson has made viral moments multiple times for offensive linemen. He's been so dominant for this Colts team, changed the tone on their offense with how they can bully people inside running the ball. Quentin Nelson, I mean, you can't say enough about how good of a generational talent this guy truly is. And I'm so excited to see what year 4 brings for Nelson, because he's just now hitting his prime. He's only 25 years old. This guy's going to be a Hall of Famer here soon. He might be a 15-time first-team All-Pro by the time he's done.
Like, honestly, if he continues this way, like, and what people forget is he's still, like, growing in the NFL. Like, he came in and he was just dominant, and he didn't know anything about the NFL. Like, he was just that good, and now he's learning more. He's learning more in terms of the defensive schemes. And Quentin Nelson is a smart football player, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he – by any means, I'm not saying anything like that. He's super smart, and he picks things up really, really quickly, but he's still learning. Like, it just goes with experience. Like, you see things like Phillip Rivers, or you hear about Phillip Rivers calling out defenses and saying they're in the wrong alignment. Like, Quentin Nelson's recognizing defenses and blitz schemes and everything, and same thing with Ryan Kelly, and they're able to know where that weakness is so they can attack it. Like, Quentin Nelson is so good, and honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he is a first-team All-Pro every single year of his career until he retires. And I don't think that that's out of, like, how crazy is it that that doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility? Like, that's the nuts thing, is he's that good. And you just see it every single week in, week out. He does something that you're like, wow. And you don't see that from an offensive guard very often. And it's so much fun to have a player like that on the Colts roster and to have him be one of those leaders in the locker room.
We spoke earlier, Steven, and I totally agree with you there. I think Nelson's on the path of potentially being the greatest offensive lineman in NFL history, and the Colts are lucky to get him at number 6 overall. You pay the number 1 overall pick price every single time for a guy like Quentin Nelson with the way he's played in the first 3 years of his career. But we spoke about Breeden Smith as potentially an indispensable Colt on offense earlier, but for sure Quentin Nelson might be number 1 on the list for indispensable Colts, because they've been lucky with Quentin Nelson the first 3 years. Not, hasn't missed much time at all. 0 games he's missed, maybe a few snaps here and there. But if Quentin Nelson misses any game action, Steven, that's when you start to think, what in the world will the Colts do without a guy like Quentin Nelson?
The next man up, is that the cheap way out to say it? It's such a dramatic drop. I don't know if there's probably going to be a bigger drop-off between the starter and the backup for any player as to Quentin Nelson. Like, that's the big drop-off. Like, the good thing is with the left guard, you can maybe hide it a little bit. But Quentin Nelson is such a dominant player that it's really, really hard to replace him and replace what he means, the attitude, the intangibles that he brings to the offensive line. And that's what's really, really hard to replace.
Let's go to left tackle now, Steven, wrapping up the offensive line for Dever, the defensive line for the last half of the show. Eric Fisher is the left tackle of 2021. We don't know if he'll be that beyond this year, but the Colts did add a void year in his contract. Kind of does show the Colts are interested. If Eric Fisher does show he's fully healthy off his Achilles tear, they want to bring him back to Indy long-term if he's on his Pro Bowl level. Very similar player to Andy Costanzo when he is fully healthy. Steven, how intrigued are you to see Eric Fisher once he is clear from his Achilles injury to play along this elite offensive line that the Colts have?
I'm super excited about it. Like, I think that he's got an opportunity to kind of resurrect what people think is, and it's not even like resurrect, because he was really good last year until his torn Achilles. He was an All-Pro level player last year. So he's going to be able to come in and play, and he's never played next to a player of the caliber of Quentin Nelson. So he's going to come in and get an opportunity to play next to Quentin Nelson, so he doesn't have to necessarily worry about what's on his inside. And I think that will free up his mind to be able to just continue to play. And it's going to make life a whole lot easier for him and far easier than what he ever had in Kansas City. So I'm really excited because he's got all the talent. And, you know, again, the caveat is if he recovers from the injury, he's got all the talent in the world and would be at least an even transition to what they had with Anthony Costanzo, with a higher upside, to be honest.
I agree with you. I mean, wrapping up the thoughts here in the offensive line before we go to the defensive line, going over the starting four over there, what's your opinion of this Colts offensive line heading into the 2021 season? Training camp begins next week. The regular season begins in around 6 weeks. The starting five of Fisher, Nelson, Kelly, Glowinski, and Smith. I mean, if Fisher comes back fully healthy and is on his Pro Bowl form, Mark Glowinski continues to look good at right guard, if Breeden Smith maintains and Quentin Nelson maintains his Hall of Fame form, this Colts offensive line is going to make it a lot easier for Carson Wentz in his transition this year.
Oh, for sure. Like, the Colts offensive line is possibly, you know, I think it's pretty easily a top five offensive line in football. If Fisher comes back healthy, I would say they're probably right up there near the top one or two. And it's going to make just such a tremendous difference with Carson Wentz and his development this year that I think that they're going to be able to really – he's going to be able to relax and play ball. That's going to be the biggest thing is in Philly, he didn't – his offensive linemen were injured. He was constantly running for his life. He didn't have the time to throw, so he was having to scramble and force throws, which is why I think some of those analytics where they talk about, oh, well, he had the longest time in terms of holding the ball, or I forget what the exact metric was on it, but it's basically he had the longest time holding the ball. And I'm going, yeah, because he had to scramble all over the field. So that doesn't tell me that he had good pocket protection. It tells me that he had like no pocket protection and was running for his life and hoping that his wide receivers could get open, and they couldn't. Now with the Colts, he's going to have just all day to throw. And Phillip Rivers, I think, is the perfect, it's the perfect transition for it, because like Phillip Rivers came from San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers, where he was getting pummeled. And I think he got sacked like 19, 21 times in 2020. And that was probably pretty close to the least in his career, if not the absolute least in his career. And you saw he had one of the highest completion percentages of his career last year. So I think that's what you can expect with Carson Wentz behind this offensive line, is he's going to get the opportunity to throw because this offensive line is so good and they're going to give him the time.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor as well? They have something for everyone over on Built Bar. My favorite flavors include double chocolate, mint brownie, raspberry. There's so many great options at Built Bars, and it tastes nothing like a candy, like a protein bar. It's really a candy bar covered in chocolate that is masked as a protein bar. The ingredients and just the concept of Built Bar is incredible to me. I'm a huge fan of Built Bar, and you should be at this point as well, Colts fans. They make easily the best protein bars on the market. They have 17 grams of protein, all within 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar as well. It's a great tasting snack to tide you throughout the day. And all 9 amazing flavors are all tasty and all healthy for you as well. Order today and get whatever flavors of Built Bars you like, and go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Let's go to the starting four on the defensive line now, Stephen. We went in-depth there on the offensive line, but Tyquan Lewis now is replacing DeNico Autry as the strong side defensive end, right defensive end. And he's so intriguing to me this year because he did prove himself last year in limited snaps that he could be a full-time starter in the NFL. But now this year is all on Tyquan Lewis's shoulders. He enters training camp as a starter, unquestioned starter in my opinion, replacing DeNico Autry. What's your thoughts on Tyquan Lewis entering into a contract year four of his career where he is the bona fide starter opposite Kwity Paye and DeForest Buckner?
I mean, it's a big year for him. Like you said, it is his contract year. To a second round draft pick. So fourth year, it's contract year. So hopefully for him, he's able to play well. I think that he's going to get every opportunity to. I think that he's going to be a huge part of what they're looking for in this defense and what they kind of hope he's going to be able to show out to. If you look at the snap percentage or the productivity, he had a really similar productivity level to DeNico Autry last year, despite playing in like a third of the snaps. So if he can continue that and he can continue to kind of extrapolate on that, I think the Colts are in a really good spot there with Tyquan Lewis on that one defensive end side.
Yeah, Lewis is a guy to me I'm so intrigued to watch this year as well, because if he can blossom into that Autry type of role, he's a 6-7 sack guy next year, and he's one who could really play all 3 downs as a run defender. So really intrigued to see what Lewis could do for the Colts here in 2021. But let's go to Grover Stewart now, Stephen, the nose tackle for the Colts, who deserved a huge payday after what he did in 2019, repeated it back in 2020 with DeForest Buckner as well alongside him. What's been your thoughts of Grover Stewart over the last couple of years and what he's going to be in 2021, as he's now becoming, I would say, maybe still underrated in national circles, but I think to Colts fans, he's probably a top 5 nose tackle in the NFL.
I think you're right. I think he's a top 5 nose tackle in the NFL. And I don't think that's a question. Like you see, there's a stat, I forget who put it out, but he's one of the top pass rushing nose tackles in the NFL as well. And he got paid recently, and Chris Ballard likes to make sure that his guys get paid when they deserve it. Grover Stewart definitely had earned it over the course of this time. And so I'm really excited to see how he continues, because again, last year was such a weird year in terms of the practice time availability. People were double teaming DeForest Buckner a lot. They didn't really have much of an edge presence. And so teams kind of focused on the defensive tackles, on DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. And so I'm really interested to see how he develops and if he's able to add that second pass rush move beyond just like a straight bull rush, and see if maybe he can sneak something in to get into that quarterback's face a little bit better. Because as a run defender, he's easily one of the top ones in the NFL. And then he's played very, very well in pass as well. So I'm excited to see him grow, and I think that he's easily a top five nose tackle for me.
Let's go to the big man, number 99, DeForest Buckner. That trade the Colts made last year really changed everything for their defense, making it an average unit to a great unit. They finished top 10 in overall defense last season after acquiring Buckner. Now entering in the year two in Indy for DeForest Buckner, that new contract is officially hit as well for him. 9.5 sacks, almost 60 tackles last year in 15 games. With Quiddy Pay alongside him now, Steven, we're going to hit on Pay in a second too, but now with maybe a consistent edge presence alongside him on the same side, Buckner could be a guy who had 9.5 sacks last year, could be a player that we saw in 2018 for the 49ers. He got 12 sacks. I think that number for Buckner could be eclipsed this year. He could get he's to me, Steven, he's the guy who could get 13 to 14 sacks this year with how the defense has been constructed.
Honestly, yeah. Like, people have been saying, oh, you know, is he going to be able to get double-digit sacks? I think that's – if teams continue to play Quiddy Pay, DeForest Buckner is so good that if teams are having to, like, kind of force out over on Quiddy Pay and actually respect the pass rushers that the Colts have, then DeForest Buckner is going to have a huge opportunity to get in there and kind of eat, which he hasn't gotten that opportunity before, even though he had a great year last year, first team All-Pro last year, which is crazy that Chris Ballard traded a single first round pick and got a first team All-Pro with it. And they were still young too. So it's not even like, you know, Chris Ballard got him at 26 years old. He's 27. He's got another like three solid years left before he starts to fall off. And you hope he doesn't, but that's usually what happens. But DeForest Buckner is going to be just an absolute monster because you've actually got pass rushers on the outside. And so I'm really excited for Buck this year to see if he can grow even more with the ability to actually have practices this year and be able to like really have a better understanding, a better feel for this defense. It's just sky's the limit for him.
Quiddy Pay is one. And Colts fans, if you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to Steven and I's post-draft reaction in round one to the Quiddy Pay pick, because that was the guy that we wanted for almost 3 months in the podcast leading up to. He fell to the Colts, and they selected him, ran out the card pretty much. That was a very quick selection the Colts made there. But Quiddy Pay added into this defense now, Steven. If Pay has a quick transition, from all indications we've heard from West 56th Street so far, Pay's transition has been very seamless alongside his Colts defense that really is predicated on effort and high motor and intensity, and that's Quiddy Pay to a T. I mean, what's your thoughts on Pay heading into his rookie year, where if he can be just maybe a 7 to 8 sack guy, that's going to open up so much for this defense. And him and Buckner, again, on the same side for the next 5-plus years, like, you can only smile thinking about the potential of that duo.
Yeah, it's going to be sick, like, because you're not going to be able to focus on just DeForest Buckner or just Quiddy Pay. Like, they're going to have to keep guys in formation. They're going to have to try to have creative ways to stop it. I think Quiddy Pay, based on everything we've seen thus far, in terms of, or everything that we've read, everything that we've seen thus far, he's got every opportunity to be just an absolute dominant player. And he's going to be like a dark horse candidate for defensive rookie of the year, I think. Because I think he's got an opportunity to put up double digit sacks as well. And that's, again, not trying to be super homerish, but go listen to the podcast back in April And you can hear all of the excitement that we had when Quiddipay just fell in their laps. It was mind-blowing that he dropped to 20. Like I said before, he should have gone at 11. And the Colts have got just an absolute stud of a player who is going to work hard and is going to – he's got, again, that three cone that's faster than Tyreek Hill. Like, he's just such an elite athlete that you shouldn't – he shouldn't have been there at 21. That it's just – shouldn't have been there. And so I'm super excited for the Colts. I think that he's going to be absolutely dominant next to DeForest Buckner, and he's going to get every opportunity to just go and pin his ears back and play one position, which he didn't get to do at Michigan. He played all over that Wolverine defense, and he's just going to be asked to play one position, that right defensive end, and just let him go. Just let him play next to DeForest Buckner and let him eat. And it's going to be just glorious.
Steven, last point before we close out the podcast, appreciate the time as always. We just spoke on how the Colts offensive line could be a top two, even top one unit this year. Eric Fisher comes back fully healthy from his Achilles injury. Adding Quiddipay to the mix now on the defensive line with the starting unit. You can even include the depth behind them as well for the four-man unit and the 4-3 defense. This Colts team was top 10 last year in defense. I think with adding Quiddipay to the mix, this Colts defense could be top 5 next year, and it could take them to a whole new level because they really just missed the pass rusher last year to be a fully elite defense. What's your opinion of this defensive line heading into 2021?
Defensive line, I think, is probably near the top 5, top 10, depending on the development of – if Tyquan Lewis can continue his development, if Quiddipay can – be what we think he is. If those two things happen, I think this is a top 5, top 10 unit, on a top 5 unit. And if they don't happen, I think the strength of the defensive tackle position for them is going to be able to cover up a lot of holes. I still think they'll probably end in the top 10, top 12.
Steven, this is so much fun getting you back on the podcast, talking through the offense and defensive line, arguably the strengths of this Colts team heading into 2021. Colts fans, go ahead and follow Steven on Twitter if you're not already, at NiceReadSteve, and go read and listen to his work, as always, over on Stampede Blue. Steven, appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.